Tonight is a night of warming the heart and illuminating your life. Tonight is the night where I want my fire to fall on each and every one.
Yeah.
As you call, my fire will fall. As you praise, I will send a blaze in your heart and in your mind, and my work will be done, says the Lord. Hallelujah. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it, okay? John chapter 20. When Jesus, he has scars, but he has the scars of the crucifixion, but he doesn't have the pain of the crucifixion. Come on. He's got scars to show that he went through it, but he doesn't feel the pain and the agony of the crucifixion anymore. Okay? Now, sometimes there are things in life that give you a scar. And there is pain associated with that scar. But in Christ, he'll take away the pain associated with those scars tonight. You're in John 20, okay? And let's look at verse 24. Jesus had risen and he had appeared to the disciples. And verse 24 says, Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of nails and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, that's a new beginning, by the way, 8 days. The number 8 is a new beginning. His disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach here your finger, and behold my hands. Reach here my hand, and thrust it into my... Notice, when he told Thomas to touch his wounds, he never said, be careful, they're sore. This was just 3 days. He never said, Thomas, be careful, those are fresh scars. Jesus had no pain of the crucifixion because of the resurrection. Now, crucifixion brings pain, but resurrection brings life and healing. You got to get that. You may have been hurt. You may have been wounded. The longer you hold on to your pain, the longer it will be with you. How about we give up the pain associated with that? And let people touch the scars, but you won't feel the pain. Go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the power of God is so rich tonight. Ooh, my hands are shaking. Okay. Let's get the picture here. Let's read Acts 14, verses 1 and 2. Okay? It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue, talking about Paul and Barnabas, of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Isn't it interesting how a small group can turn a big group? Okay? So, let's go down to verse 19. And Paul and Barnabas were preaching boldly. Okay? And verse 19 says, and there came there certain Jews from Antioch. Paul had a traveling hit squad of Jews that would show up to his meetings, and they would stir up people because they were influenced by a demonic spirit. They would stir up people against Paul, and Paul ended up receiving physical pain. Okay? And they persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Now you got to get this picture. They had just stoned him. That means they're taking rocks the size of a man's fist and pelting them at you from a higher position, and the person being thrown at is at a lower position. Okay? How many know when the rocks hit, they're going to cause some bruises, aren't they? They're going to cause some pain. And on top of that, they thought he was dead, so they threw him out of the city. You think about taking out a bag of trash and just throwing it. Okay? Once again, when he hit the ground, pain. And they thought he was dead. But look at verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he what? What do you suppose they did when they stood round about him? They probably prayed. They had a little resurrection service. And the man who was just stoned and left for dead, power came into him and he rose up. Now get this. Now you got to get this picture. Huh. And he rose up and came into the city. He didn't say, I'm hurting, I can't go in. He didn't say, I'm going to go. No, he went back into the city that stoned him. The very same city of the people that had just stoned him, he went back into the city. The next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel, the next day. I'm telling you, back in 2008, I was hit by a van as a pedestrian, and to this day, I have no recollection of any impact whatsoever. Even though it happened, even though I got knocked out, I have no recollection. I mean, I know what happened, but I have no pain associated with the event. I don't get fearful if I'm about to walk across the street and cars are going, because I have no recollection of the pain associated with the event that occurred. Can you say amen? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, the resurrection power of God is greater than any pain that the devil can inflict upon you. The author Woodrow Cole said this: if your life is an uphill slope, set your sails to catch God's power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. This is a prayer for the church. It's a prayer that you can pray for yourself. And if it's in the Bible, it's a promise you can have. And he said, verse 17, the God of our Ephesians 1, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. The word know is also to experience. It's not just to have a knowledge, but it's to have a working knowledge. Okay? To know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is one thing that you need to know. Verse 19, you've got to know this. And you can know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, or that is working in us, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. How many believe in God's power tonight? All you need to activate God's power in your life is a belief in that power, is a trust in that power. You need to transfer the trust that you had in the pain and put it in the power of God. You just need to make a mental shift. You need to tell yourself that the pain cannot override the power of God. Because we can know His resurrection power. My goodness. We can know the exceeding greatness of... He's still praying to know. We can know. We can experience right now in this very moment the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, or toward us, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. Notice the working. It hasn't stopped working. It's still working. The resurrection power of God is still working in His body today, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. One moment of pain led to an eternity of a pain-free life because of the resurrection. The resurrection transformed Christ's body to flesh and bone. The resurrection calls Christ to show up even in locked rooms. The resurrection body, the resurrection power calls Christ to be able to transport from here to there in the wink of an eye, or the blink of an eye. Okay? And this power propelled Him above. Say this with me. Say, God's resurrection power will propel me above my pain. It'll help you overcome mistakes. It'll help you overcome the sin nature. It'll help you overcome a bad mindset. Resurrection is up here. Pain is down here. When you're up here, you tend to forget about what's down here because it's so small. Oh, not even in my notes at all. Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named. If you can name your pain, there's a name above your pain. There's a name higher than your pain. There's a name greater than your pain. Listen, the devil likes to rub things in our face, but let's turn it against him. Let's rub the resurrection in his face. Let's put more faith in the resurrection than we ever did in our pain. Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet. Can we now tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us? Don't let the pain tread on you. You tread on it. You rise above the pain. You rise above bitterness. You rise above resentment. Say this with me. Say, I have a very bright future. My future is better than my past. It's true. Go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Verse 17. This is another prayer that he's praying. That we can pray for us. We can pray for a group. You can pray for anybody. Just put your name in there. I'm going to give you an example. I'll show you how to do it. Okay? I'll start with verse 16. That God would grant me, Doug, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Say, I'm strong by God's Spirit in my inner man. Where does the life of God come from? Does it come from without or from within? It comes from within. It comes from the inside out. See, the devil operates out here, but God operates in here. Okay? The reason a Christian never has to have a power outage is because we always carry the source of power within us. Every Christian who has the Holy Ghost has a working power generator wherever they go, and he doesn't need solar power. He doesn't need to be plugged in. He is the power. He will continually generate power in your life, but you got to work it from in here and bring it out here. Okay? Okay, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. I'm just using myself as an example. That I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes what? Did you know that you can experience something that passes knowledge? That tells me that pain is associated with something that you know, but you can surpass it with the power. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. The love of Christ goes beyond what you know. It's greater than what you know. It's stronger, okay? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. When you're filled with all the fullness of God, he rushes all the junk that you've felt out. So you're no longer feeling the junk, you're feeling his fullness. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that what? Works where? Say, there's a power working in me. It's working out the kinks. It's working out the problems. It's working solutions. Say, there's a power in me, and it's working in me. And I'm feeling it working. And it works good. There's a power. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. We should never, we don't need to have a spiritual power outage. Because all you got to do is turn on the power that's in you. How do you do that? Through praise, through worship, through prayer, through reading the Bible, through meditation, through praying in tongues. Jude 20 says, beloved, building up yourselves. When you're feeling weak, you need some building up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, how long should I pray? Until you feel built up. Pray in tongues as long as necessary. Until it says, beloved, building up. Look at it. You don't have to turn, but Jude 20, you can look it up. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I can't pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, then you need to get baptized in fire, which is a free gift, by the way. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough to. All you got to do is receive it. That's it. Okay? The church of God needs the power of God to fulfill the mandate of God. I wrote this down. The church was birthed in power, baptized in power, and boldly went forth proclaiming the power of God. The church, that's you and I. We were birthed in power. We were baptized in power. And we can boldly proclaim what the power has done. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're kind of going to just camp out here tonight, okay? Are you ready for some power? How about a power upgrade? You can get an upgrade tonight. A power upgrade. Doesn't cost you anything. All you got to do is exchange some faith. Where does faith come? How does faith come? Hearing what? The moment you hear God's word, God gives you currency in faith. Have you heard some scriptures tonight? Then faith has already been deposited in your account. And how you choose to use that faith, well, that's up to you. Okay? All right, Acts chapter 2. And let's go to verse 22. Acts chapter 2, 22. Peter is preaching here. This is after the day of Pentecost, where they all were just empowered by the Holy Ghost. Okay? 120 people were having a prayer meeting, and God's power interrupted the prayer meeting in the form of tongues like fire that fell from the sky and a wind that blasted the doors open. God blasted the place. He filled the place, then he filled the people. See? God works in order. He'll fill the place, then he'll fill the people. Like when Solomon dedicated the temple and there was 120 musicians and singers and they were all singing and playing in one accord. They sounded like one voice. And the Bible says a smoke filled the temple. And it came in, and the Bible said the priest couldn't stand to minister. So if you happen to just fall out your seat, it's okay. All right? The priest couldn't even stand up to minister. If I fall down in the pulpit tonight, you know that something good is happening. All right? So Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter is preaching here. He says, "You men of Israel, you people of Palmyra, hear these words." Are you listening? "Jesus of Nazareth," notice this phrase, "a man." Was he a man? Was he a man anointed by the Holy Ghost? Are we men as far as mankind goes? Are we anointed by the Holy Ghost? Okay. "You men, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." That word miracles is the word dunamis. That's what we've been stuck with. That's the scriptures that we're talking about power. It's all had to be, it's all related to dunamis. Okay? "Which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know." Where does God like to do miracles most? In the midst. He likes to do miracles where people are. He likes to meet you where you are. He likes to invade your space. His presence likes to just come in and fill it and do signs, wonders, and miracles. What's a wonder? Something that makes you wonder. What's a miracle? It's supernatural. What's a sign? This is things that points to Jesus. A sign is something that points. The things that God does, it points to Jesus. It's anytime God does something, he does it to get our eyes on Jesus. Not on the man, but on Jesus. That's why statues that cry, they're not pointing to Jesus. They're pointing to the statue. That's why they're a false sign and a lying wonder. There are real signs and there are false signs. Well, how can you tell the difference? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost identifies deception immediately. He knows when deception is happening, but he knows when the real is occurring, and only the Holy Spirit can decipher the two. So if the Holy Ghost is in you, don't worry, you won't be deceived. If you know how to hear God's voice, you won't be deceived. Amen? So Jesus was a man attested or approved by miracles, wonders, and signs. What were Jesus' degrees? Miracles, signs, and wonders were his degree. I mean, he was a carpenter who became a minister. Let's go to chapter 3. All right? Acts chapter 3. And Peter and John had just performed a miracle. They went to the temple and they saw a man there begging because he couldn't walk. And Peter got his attention. He said, "Look at me." He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give." What did Peter just get not too long in chapter 2? What did he just get? He got power. He got power from on high. He got Holy Ghost power. And he forgot his checkbook. He didn't have his wallet with him, but he had some power with him. And God gave him that power so he could give it to someone else who needed it. And this man didn't know what he was getting into, but when Peter said, "Look at me," he thought, "Man, this guy's going to give me something. I better pay attention." And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." And I'm sure the guy was probably thinking, "Oh, man." But he said, "Such as I have, I give you." Rise up and walk in Jesus' name. Now look at verse 12. Okay? Look at verse 12. And now, this guy had just gotten healed, and he was hanging out with Peter and John, and now there was a crowd gathered in the synagogue, okay? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" It wasn't by... They were on borrowed power. They had delegated power. It was the power of the Lord that he had given them to do what he needed them to do. Say this with me. Say, "The Lord Jesus Christ, he has empowered me. He authorized me. He delegated me to go and do what he did." Is that true? Do you have God's power in you? Say it like you mean it. No, don't say yes. Say, "I've got God's power in me." Say it like you mean it. Do you believe it? Say, "I'm a powerhouse for God." Say, "I've got miracle, wonder-working power in me." Did you know that Coca-Cola puts machines in all kinds of stores? And they, in those machines, they have cans of their product in it. And if someone has the right money, they can put it into the machine, press a button, and that machine will dispense the product. Come on. Jesus has got lots of machines that he put in this earth. And he filled those machines with his product. And all you got to do is put faith in and the product will come out. We are all power machines for Jesus. Notice, he told them about Jesus, and then verse 16. He said, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. So what are some things that we need to never have a power outage? We need to know the authority of his name. We need to understand that when we use the name of Jesus, it causes earth and heaven to stand at attention. You've got to understand that there's power in the name of Jesus. When you're having a bad day, when things aren't going your way, but when you start to say, Jesus, 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 it'll start to clear some things up on the inside of you. He said his name. If you want, you'll never have a power outage if you understand the ability to use his name. His name is above every what? His name is the highest name. There's no name under heaven and earth whereby men can be saved. It is the highest name. It has the most supreme authority over everything else. And we have the right and the privilege to use his name. Because when Peter raised the guy up, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said it in his name. And when he used his name, power went into that lame body and fixed the lameness just like that. So his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. They knew this man. This was an undeniable miracle. No one could say it didn't happen, because it happened before their eyes. Because two people were willing to use the name of Jesus. They weren't ashamed of the name. They were bold about the name. They looked for this opportunity and they took it. Did you notice that Peter and John, when they came up to the man and said, let's have a prayer meeting, John. No, they already were filled with the power. They already had the power in them. They were power containers. Where they went, the power went. The power just needed an outlet. And the faith which is by him. Isn't it awesome how God himself gives us the faith that we need to have in his name? The faith which is in him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Remember, God likes to do his miracles in the midst. Because when two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. Peter and John, how many is that? They were gathered in his name. And they were empowered to do this thing. And that's what God wants from us. Okay? Now, let's go to chapter 4 and verse 7. This story is still going on. Okay? And verse 7 says in chapter 4, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And, you know, the Bible says when you stand before judges, you don't have to wonder what you're going to say. Okay? Peter did not pull out note cards. He said, okay, boys, I got an answer for you. No, the Holy Ghost now took over. Okay, look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with who? Notice he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Another thing to never have a power outage, always glorify God. When God does something good, glorify God. When the devil does something bad, don't even mention it. Only focus on the good things that God is doing. Peter immediately directed praise to the source of the power. Okay? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you, how? Whole. Whole. God's power is looking for opportunities to make people whole. If you're still suffering from a painful event, you're not quite whole yet. But that doesn't mean you can't get whole. Jesus, just keep having faith in Jesus, faith in his name, and wholeness will result. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at the nought of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men, whereby we must be saved. Notice he said we must be saved. Salvation is not an option. It's a necessity. If you know people who aren't saved, they need to be saved. Okay? So always glorify the Lord and his power when he moves. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. All right? God's power always produces boldness. Being in the Lord's presence clothes you with his power. Notice what they said. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Aren't you glad that God's power can operate in unlearned and ignorance? In other words, you don't have to be highly educated, although that's not a bad thing, to operate in God's power. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is have faith. Okay? They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm telling you, when you get in Jesus' presence, you will not leave empty-handed. You will get Jesus on you, and you will take him with you where you go. If you've been in Jesus' presence, it'll be known. I'll never forget one time. I was just, back when I was in Illinois, long before I was ever married, I just had a good day with the Lord. I was reading his word. I was praying. And then we gathered with some friends, and we were sitting outside on a picnic table. And this lady just kept looking at me. And I'm like, what? What are you looking at? She goes, you're glowing. I said, praise the Lord. What happened when Moses spent 40 days with Jesus on the mountain? He came down. He was so illuminated that the people couldn't handle it. You know, when you go home tonight, and if you got people at your house, they're going to say, you've been to VCF. Because there's something about you. When you get in God's presence will get on you. These men took notice of Peter, and it was their boldness. Another thing that's going to cause you to never have a power outage is be bold about the Bible. Be bold about what you believe. How many of you saw the movie The War Room? I love the part when the robber tries to rob him, and she says, put that down in Jesus' name. And the guy didn't know what to do. He put the weapon down, didn't he? Because she knew her authority. That's how we need to be. We need to be bold against the enemy especially. But we need to be bold about what we believe. We need to be bold about what the Bible says. She didn't say, put your name in Jesus' name. See, when you get in the presence of the Lord, you will not leave timid. You will leave like a lion. Because you just spent some time. I was just hanging out with the Lion of Judah. So being in the Lord's presence clothes you with his power. Go to verse 20. Go down to verse 20. See, in this chapter, there are keys that we never have to have a power outage. There's never a power disruption between heaven and us as long as we're walking by faith and not by sight. Verse 20, he says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Testify and speak to what you have seen and heard if you want to maintain, never want to have a power outage. Testify to what you've seen and heard. Well, let me tell you what Jesus did to me one time. Let me tell you what I saw one time in this. I was in this service. Let me tell you what I saw. Let me tell you what I heard. Because that's a way to keep the power flowing. Aren't you glad when you turn on a light bulb, you don't have to say, "Burn, light, burn"? That light was designed to burn. That light was designed to illuminate. As long as the filament is connected, as long as there's a connection to Jesus, you were designed to shine. The problem is people turn it off and on the switch. Just leave it on. What's the switch? The switch is faith. Always keep the switch of faith on. Right? Always keep faith running in your heart. Always keep reminding yourself of faith. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? When trouble comes your way, you say, "What did Jesus say?" When things go bad, what did Jesus say? When you're starting to be tempted, you say, "What did Jesus say?" Stir up faith in you. I didn't envision myself being so passionate about this, but when you're talking about the power, I guess that's just a result. Okay, so you got to testify and speak to what you have seen in her. Verse 21, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorified God for which was done." Another thing that you'll never have a power outage is glorify God. And then verse 29, we're almost done. Now, they glorified God for being brought before the rulers. They didn't complain about it. They glorified God. Okay? And the same people now, they go back to church. All right? They're back at VCF meeting, and this is what they said. And verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant to your servants that with what boldness? All boldness they may speak the word." Let me tell you something. When they were threatened, they did not pay attention to the threat. They went to God and said, "God, we need to amp it up more. We need to make it louder. We need to take a stronger stance," because they didn't allow the threat to hinder them. All the enemy can do is threaten you. He can't do anything to you. All he can do is just make an empty threat. And if you choose to believe the empty threat, then you give him the power. But if you don't believe the threat, he can't do anything. His hands are tied. All right, almost done, almost done. So they prayed that with all boldness. Man, I thought they were bold before, but now they want all boldness. I love that. Verse 31, okay? Then they said, "Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal." Okay? "And that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy..." Now, they took the threats and they prayed for boldness, they prayed for healings, they prayed for signs and wonders to be done. And did God hear their prayer? Look at what God did. "When they had prayed, the place was shaken." Now that's some power, isn't it? God saying, "Yeah, okay, I like what you're saying. I'm right with you." Okay? "The place was shaken where they were assembled together." God's about to shake some people tonight. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Don't back down. from speaking God's word. Feelings will come and go, but you fight your feelings with God's word. You fight the circumstances of life with God's word. If people aren't doing what you want them to do, pray for them. Pray for them. We should never have a power outage as a believer in Christ Jesus, because we have the source of power. We have the creator of power. And guess what? He doesn't send you a power bill. He doesn't charge you to use his power. Oh, it's just, well, I will say this. It may just take you some time in his presence to renew the power, to charge up the power. Amen? So, let me just recap. We use the to never have a power outage, never have a power outage, spiritually speaking. Have recognized the power of his name, have faith in his name, glorify God, have confidence in God's power will produce boldness. Being in the Lord's presence will clothe you with his power. Testifying and speaking to what you have seen and heard. Glorify God. Ask God for more boldness. And when you ask for boldness, be willing to speak it. Don't back down from what you believe. Amen? So, I don't want you to ever have a power outage. If you're here tonight and you need to be juiced up, we've got a charger. We've got a battery charger here called the Holy Ghost. And he'll charge you up. He'll never go bad. He's got an eternal lifetime guarantee. So, Father, I just thank you for you releasing your power right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to come up if you need to be charged with God's power.